If you're a regular listener to Unreal Bluegrass, you know that Tim Stafford is a frequent contributor to this program, for which we are very appreciative. Tim Stafford and Bobby Sarnes have released an album, What We Leave Behind, a Songwriters Collection. Great album, great songs by great songwriters. A very unique feature is they've divided it into bluegrass, country, and Americana. Tim Stafford's going to be my guest in the second hour to discuss that album. Also, a new project on the way from Blue Highway. You may recognize Tim more readily from that band, the super band that he's been with forever and ever and ever, and they still put out great music. This is Tim Stafford. I'm really happy to welcome back to Unreal Bluegrass Tim Stafford. How are you, Tim?
Doing great, Steve. How you doing, man?
I'm doing great. You know, I kept thinking how many times you've been on, and there are four shows in the archives. It was actually three appearances, and one of them I cut in two just so we could talk about extensive things and make it into two different broadcasts. So there are actually four. If you look in the archives of Unreal Bluegrass, Stafford, Tim, you'll find four broadcasts with you. So we've had some time to chat about some things, and you were, which I'm very happy about, and you've always had good information, and I rely on you to carry me through the details of these things. But you were nice enough to send me this Tim Stafford and Bobby Sarnes, What We Leave Behind, a Songwriters Collection. And right. It's a fascinating album, and I want to start with my admission to you that I don't really know Bobby Sarnes, and you can tell me a little bit about Bobby on the air.
And Bobby is one of my oldest friends. We kind of grew up together. I think we met in the backyard of my grandmother's house playing football, and that ended up being a deal over there in the neighborhood that I grew up in, because my grandmother, after my grandfather passed away, decided that she was going to just redo the house and buy a stereo, and she bought a ton of Rolling Stone records, and she started having all the neighborhood kids over, and pretty soon every Friday and Saturday night there'd be like 200 kids over there. And so it was a neighborhood hangout, but it was a great hangout. It was one of those deals where the people who are still around that remember that my grandmother's place talk about it with such reverence for her and what a big influence she was on their lives. And Bobby was one of those kids, and I met him there, and we carried through and started writing songs a few years later, probably the mid-'80s. And been writing since then, and I guess together we've probably written a couple hundred songs or maybe more, I'm not sure, but we wanted to put an album out because we pitched a bunch of songs, got a lot of cuts from different people in bluegrass. We had the Boxcars and Kenny and Amanda Smith, and of course Blue Highways recorded a lot of mine and Bobby's. We had some songs that we just didn't think would be pitchable to bluegrass artists, so we put this record together kind of as a way to get those out, along with a few other tunes that we had that we wanted to put it out. You know, once we got it rolling, we thought, well, hey, how about this, you know?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, it just turned into a mishmash of things, and we arranged it that way so that DJs mainly would know what to play, you know.
You were bold enough to draw the line, which I'm going to talk to you about in a minute, because you actually labeled these, and that's cool. I know, Tim, from talking to you and just from knowing you in general, that I don't think I'm going overboard to say Tim Stafford is always writing songs.
Yeah, I think you're probably right about that, and I wish I had the will to write a lot by myself anymore, and I just don't as much as I used to, but I'm always looking for opportunities to write with this handful of go-to co-writers that I've learned to write with a lot, and we've had a lot of success with and great results. And that's people like John Weisberger, Steve Gulley, of course.
Yeah.
Steve and I have done a record, you know, before also. So it's and there's just a handful of other people, and Bobby's one of them. You know, he and Steve are probably the two we've written the most together, I guess, you know. I am writing a lot. And when I'm not writing, I've got ideas that I'm putting down and melodies that I'm writing and stuff like that.
That's what I remember from our discussions, that you're always like you know, taking little notes or recording little bits of melodies or little bits of lyrics and hoping mm-hmm. to come back if you can't finish them. And so that's what I mean by, I think Tim Stafford's always writing or composing some sort of a song, somewhere or the other, however you want to put it. There are three very distinct divisions. I'm going to start with the bottom one on the album, first Americana, only because of this. Wilkes County Clay was recorded by Blue Highway on the last album, right?
Yeah, that's right. And on this album, we decided to do it stripped down, just two guitars.
Yeah, it's a different treatment. I recognize that one, and it was one of my favorite songs because of the story. You explained that at length when we talked about the last Blue Highway release, that it was the real story that we all thought we knew, but we probably really didn't know the absolute story behind what was going on. And that's a great tune, yeah.
Well, thanks. Now, I don't think anybody really knows what happened there, but this is what we thought probably did.
Well, you put more effort into putting words to it than anybody else I've seen to try to make it accurate.
That may be true.
That song is, and then there are three categories. That's in the Americana, what you call Americana, you and Bobby call Americana. There is a country, very distinct country section, and bluegrass. There's four tunes in bluegrass, and there's 14 songs on the album complete, and looks like there's five in the country and also five in the Americana. And so here was my first question to you, and I will say this with this proviso, which means nothing, and you can answer this the same way. When I was a first-year law school student, very, very snarly professor, and when you're first year, you're scared to death. Somebody asked him, well, in some vague law thing, where do you draw the line? And he turned around and he grabbed a piece of chalk and he drew a line on the board and put it down and didn't say a word, and nobody said anything else again because it was, that's not the question you're supposed to ask. So here, it is a great story, and it was true, and there was a chill. There was just a chill because he wasn't kidding. It was like, there's her to draw the line. Just pay attention to me. So you've made some decisions here to divide these things up, and it's very difficult. There's some things on here that are clearly, I could make a call on it, but how did you guys, as songwriters, I know why you did it, but how did you make the distinction between those three, bluegrass, country, and Americana?
Well, we knew the bluegrass people would probably gravitate towards this record first because they know, a lot of them know who I am and who Blue Highway and whatever, but so we put that first, and we knew we wanted to record, you know, four or five bluegrass tunes, but we had all these other tunes that just didn't fit that. And then once we got them recorded, we thought, well, where do they fit, you know? And the closest we could come up with was this country Americana, and it's sort of arbitrary. But there's no doubt that the 10 songs that aren't bluegrass on here are not bluegrass.
Right.
They don't really fit that category. So I felt like in order to get it played maybe in a certain radio environments, it was going to be easier if we just gave them our idea of what was what, you know. And it's clear that something like Keep It Merle is country.
Absolutely. That's the one you can say, everybody in the room could say, that's country. And I'm a big fan of Trey Hensley. You've got so many great people on this album, but that is absolutely country right between the eyes. I mean, that's
what we were shooting for, man. Bobby's an old country. He played professionally in a country band called the Chance Brothers back in the 80s.
I don't know them.
And he was on the road for a few years before he started doing his what he's been doing. He's been operate his own business in the graphic design area.
I saw that story where he had a fall and he carved all these names on this wall of names.
Yeah, that's amazing. If you get a chance to see it, it's like all of his songwriting heroes, and covers up an entire wall. It was therapy for him. But Bobby has a company called Electrographics, and they design. They illustrate college textbooks, and they've been doing it on computers since the 80s. So they were one of the early companies that did it. And most of the college textbooks that you see have been illustrated by Bobby.
Oh, really?
And you know, in one way or another, were laid out. A lot of the design on college textbooks comes through Electric Graphics. So he's been very successful with that, but he's always been a musician, you know, and always been writing.
And that tune, Keep It Merle, like we said, I mean, it is clearly, it's a commentary on what passes today as country music and what it should be or shouldn't be, but it's clearly country. My the second tune in that section, My Roping Days Are Done, that features my friend Tim Shelton up the road from me, and who's now fronting a big band.
He's been doing a Christmas show.
He's done a Christmas show, yeah.
Frank Sinatra kind of song.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
He's a very versatile singer. And Tim, I play in a little quartet thing with Tim called Sailor Street. And we've been doing some shows here and there. And he's just such a great singer, you know. Bobby and I have had him demo a few songs for us over the years. And this actually was the demo for this song. Before Blue Highway recorded.
We recorded
it on Through the Window of the Train.
Yeah, okay.
But we always loved his version, and we thought, hey, man, why not dust that off and maybe update it a little bit? And we did. That's actually his vocal from the original demo. Which
oh, is it really?
20 years ago.
No kidding. Yeah. And that's just kind of, that's a like a cowboy kind of a waltz western kind of a... in my mind when I hear it. It's great. It's a great song. All those, well, and, you know, in the rest of the country, you got A Gambler's What I Am and Doc Jackson and Last Day in Paradise. I think you start out in the first two or three clearly are clearly country, and then you're easing your way into what then becomes the Americana, which I tend, the section which is Americana reminds me of the feel that I got in listening to your album, Just to Hear the Whistle Blow.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah, just as far as the freedom that I'm not saying you're not free to write or sing what you want, but the feel of the tunes in Just to Hear the Whistle Blow, which was one of your solo things, but they were just so kind of diverse and I think that sound kind of comes through on some of these tunes. I could be wrong, but I kept thinking, what is that sound? What's that feel? And I went back through my library and I thought, that's the feel that I get from Tim Stafford's solo album, Just Hear the Whistle Blow.
It could be. I never really thought about it that much, but, I mean, of course, we all kind of gravitate towards what we like, and I think there are some tunes on that record that sort of sound like some of these tunes, although I'm not sure I've ever done anything quite like Lighthouse.
No, you haven't. No, I'm not. No, it doesn't sound like that. Just the feel of some of those tunes, just the open feel, I think. That's
right.
My word.
Yeah, you know? I get you. I know where you're coming from. And some of the, you know, there's more fingerpick guitar on the Americana stuff.
Exactly.
A little different. You know,
exactly.
But yeah, it's hard to escape your fingerprint, you know, your musical fingerprint, whatever that is, but you just tend to have it no matter what you do, I think, and that's true of everybody.
Well, and I don't mean to make the comparison to make a short description of it. I'm just saying that I had that same feel. None of the songs are the same, just that the feel was the same, that this was sort of you just kind of relaxing and reaching out a little bit. I do not know Beth Snapp, but holy moly, Lover's Masquerade,
yeah.
I don't know her at all, but she's a Pete's.
Yeah, man, she's great. She's a local singer in the Tri-Cities area. She's from Kingsport. I met her a few years ago over at Bobby's. She was recording some stuff, and he had heard her come in the studio. He has a studio at his house. See, this is where we did all this album. And in the course of that studio being over there, I heard Beth, and I heard a lot of other people ended up being on the record. And I just was immediately drawn to her style. And she's a great solo artist, if you haven't heard any of her.
I will look now.
Check it out, because it's very similar kind of stuff, and except she writes all of her own stuff. And we just love her singing. And she's a great guitar player as well. I was fortunate enough to produce one of her records and Write Your Name Down. That's great stuff, man. So, yeah, she sang one on Just to Hear the Whistle Blow, too. It Ain't the Mountain.
Okay, all right, okay. And I scanned through, but I didn't look back. The Lover's Masquerade almost has. Is that you on guitar?
Well, I played the lead guitar.
Yeah. Okay.
Bobby played the little. That was his little figure, that descending figure.
Yeah.
And so that's him playing that.
This almost has, Tim. I mean, this could be. Let's say you wanted to add a fifth division in your things, and you had one song to put in. What would be called jazz?
It is kind of jazzy, and that's one place that we wanted to go with it. And yeah, that's sort of the feel we had for that whole thing.
So she has a perfect voice, kind of a smoky feel to her voice. Not that her voice is anywhere not bright and clear, but and then only because of the title do I think of this right away. The tumblers in my head go back to Leon Russell, Masquerade, not his version, which was on Carney, which I had for that song. But years later, George Benson said, I'm going to make that a song nobody would ever recognize again.
Yeah.
And so only the title of that makes me think back to that.
Right. That may have been in the back of our head, but I think I remember Bobby and I coming up with the tune, and, he had this little figure, and I kind of came up with the melody on top of it. And so often, we'll do this, you come up with a melody or a progression, and it suggests a lyric, and a lot of times it's the other way around. We usually start with a lyric idea, a hook or something like that, and then build a verse and chorus, and then say, okay, what does that sound like? Put the music to it. But this came the other way. We had the music first, and then we decided, it kind of sounds like a masquerade, something smoky, jazzy. I'm really glad we got Beth to sing that, because she just does. She's perfect for it.
She does. She's wonderful. I will definitely look her up. The very last cut on the album, I'm going to bounce back up in just a second. All in What We Leave Behind is just one of those nice, the title's right there. It's not until the end, and then it comes back to the title, not until the end. It's All in What We Leave Behind is describing very. Very nice, and Americana is a great fit for it. And the story itself is just, it's kind of like let's be in this for the long game.
Well, yeah, I think that song was kind of inspired by Kim Williams, a good friend of both mine and Bobby. In fact, Bobby and I have both written with him and wrote with him together on a few occasions. And Kim was passed away a few years ago. Inspirational guy in a lot of ways, and. He wrote a great song with Doug Johnson called Three Wooden Crosses that has a payoff line that says, it's not what you take when you leave this world behind you, it's what you leave behind you when you go.
Yeah.
And we were sort of thinking of that, what you leave behind, talking about what a great line that is.
It is.
We knew it was Kim's, we've written with Kim. And so it's sort of dedicated to him, but... Bobby's also, he and I both were big fans of people like Guy Clark and Townes Van Zandt and John Prine, who can tell such a story, with just a guitar and that conversational type of story. I'm a big fan of.
And it winds up sort of half being the name of the album, What We Leave Behind.
Right.
But that's that's a beautiful story and beautiful lyric. The backup in the country section, just for a second, Doc Jackson, that's quintessential. That could almost be, and I know there's no bright lines, but it's the story of a man that's a farmer, and the story of his life and the property that he owns and the memories that it has and his values versus what might be values of developers or somebody else. But that's a real favorite of mine right now.
Well, thanks, man. Doc Jackson is actually a real person. He's a bass player from Washington County, Tennessee, near Johnson City, who... played in band with Bobby for a long time, one of Bobby's best friends. I know Doc too. I know his dad really well. And the funny thing is, man, right around the same time that Bobby and I wrote this, Steve Gulley and I wrote another song that's called I Already Do. It's based on a true story about Jimmy Martin that almost is a very, very similar thing to this song. It's kind of weird the way it worked out. I think they're different enough, but it's going to be on the new Blue Highway record.
Oh, cool. All right.
So, we'll look for that, and you might come back to me and say, hey.
I will.
But, I think you know, and it's actually true about Doc. He's been offered scads of money for the family farm, but it just means too much to him, and
yeah.
and he won't sell.
He's got like what 140 acres, and the time passes, and he won't let it go because it's more important to him than what he could get paid for it, what he could use for
exactly.
it. Yeah,
exactly.
Which is a nice story. On the bluegrass side, I know I've already played on Unreal Bluegrass at least two of these. Not that I won't play the other ones, but I know for a fact Steady Betty and Shotgun Sam I've played.
Well, great, man, yeah. Steady Betty was intended to be a... you know, a Frankie and Johnny sort of song.
Right.
And we sort of were thinking about Jimmy Rogers that night. I remember talking about him. And we had never written a song like that. And we thought, well, let's give it a shot, you know. And the title was in my phone, like so many other things, one of those things I had written down. And it came from a Geico commercial. I think it was Geico. No, it was Liberty Insurance. And it's this girl talking about how she had a car named Steady Betty, and then she wrecked it, you know, but it was paid for. She got a new car because it was Liberty. You know. But anyway.
I don't remember that commercial, but now I'm going to look for that one, too.
Yeah. Steady Betty.
All right.
And, I just love the alliteration in it.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, that cries out to be a Frankie and Johnny type song, so that's what we did with it.
Go ahead.
And Shotgun Sam is Bobby's story, that he always had the idea for a song where the guy would be a moonshiner and a revenuer, and he would secretly be a moonshiner, you know, and of course would never get caught because he's the guy who's
same guy.
You know?
Same guy, which by the way is not so far off from what happened in a lot of the counties that went dry, so to speak.
Exactly.
You know, all of a sudden it wasn't on the table to be sold per drink or package, but you could buy it from the same guy who was enforcing the law up down the road.
That's right. So there's some fiction to it, but there's some truth there, too.
Yeah, I remember that. And, I remember that. And you also have on here Hallelujah Land, which is just a nice... you need to have one of those in a bluegrass set, I think.
I mean, it's a straight-ahead gospel song, but it was intended to be that way. Bobby said he wanted something that you could hear in the Red Book hymnal. And and that's sort of what we did. But when we finished it, we got a friend, Keith Williams, who I've known him since the late 70s. And he's a preacher now, and Bobby's been to his church. And he's one of these guys that could have been a huge country star back in the 80s, but he decided to go into the ministry. And still sings, you know, and still sings so great. And there's actually a video of him singing a song on Bobby's Facebook page. It's had almost 100,000 views.
Really?
And he slays it, man. He's one of these, just the most perfect natural singer. You know, ask Barry Bales about him. Barry knows all about him.
I will.
And when we did a concert back in Greenville at the Capitol Theater a few years ago, with Adam, Steffi, and Barry Bales and myself, we got Keith, and he sang for us, you know. He's just one of my all-time favorite singers.
Tim, you and Bobby have so many great guests on this thing. I mean, you almost can't read them all. It's almost takes up the entire inside jacket of just the people that are appearing on this.
Well, we had a basic band for the Bluegrass Cuts, which was Ron Stewart and Cam Keller, and myself and Jacob Burleson, that's Jason's son, played mandolin on it. Of course, Jacob plays guitar now in Volume 5, and Adam Steffi plays mandolin. But he was a mandolin player in Volume 5. He's just one of these kids that can rip apart anything that he picks up, you know.
He's very good.
Kids that make me sick, you know.
Me too.
but we also got Daniel Sayer to come in and sing some great tenor. And Daniel filled in with Blue Highway last year when Wayne Taylor was having his recovering from bypass surgery. And he also played bass on a few things because he filled in. I knew he was a good bass player as well. So, and then on the country stuff, man, it's like there's a lot of different people that played on these things. Tony Dingus played steel on a lot of it, and there's different bass players. We've got John Gardner playing percussion and drums on a lot of it, and John's a super. He's a kind of a legend. Played with everybody from Don Williams to James Taylor to Ray Charles, you know. And he's a local guy. He's a East Tennessee guy. So yeah, and then of course Trey Hensley singing one, Beth Knapp and Tim Shelton, and then of course Keith Williams. Those are the guest vocalists.
Yeah, it's loaded, and I am really glad you sent it to me. You sent me a message asking me if I wanted it, and I said, heck yeah. And I've had it. I've been listening to it. Tell me. I know you're on the road right now with Blue Highway. Tell me a little bit about. Well, how do people access? How do they find Tim Stafford, Bobby Sarnge, What We Leave Behind, the Songwriters Collection?
The best way is to come to my website, which is timstaffordguitar.com, and you'll see a link there that'll take you to the mine and Bobby's record.
Okay.
And that's the easiest way to find it. And you can order the CD and also get a free digital download when you do that.
Okay.
Or you can just do a digital download, too. You know, either way you would like to do it. So.
All right. Good. Well, you mentioned earlier about a song that's going to be on a Blue Highway. So there must be something coming up not too far future.
We just finished it, and it's being mastered as we speak. It's called Young Rounder, and it's our 25th anniversary record.
Wow.
And it's called Somewhere Far Away, and all original, and I'm really excited about this record. I just really like the songs that the guys came up with, and Gary Holtman is our new dobro player, formerly of the Boxcars, and played with Adam Steffi's group, Highland Travelers.
Right, right.
And Gary's a great, great player. He's one of these cats. Bobby's, you know, we did it at Bobby's studio, and Bobby said, you know what I like about Gary? He said, well, he's a great guy, first of all, and he is. He's one of the nicest guys that you'll ever want to meet, which means a lot. But the other thing is, he says, you know, he plays the song, not the instrument. And I thought, wow, that's profound. But it's true. He really plays what the song needs, and he doesn't just play something that he can find on the instrument. And that's the difference between music and something else. I'm not sure what it is, but I prefer it. You know, I prefer it when
it's
somebody...
It's the feel. They get the feel of what's going on. You can't... I don't know how you teach that. I mean, you could play a song on a guitar, or you can play music.
Exactly.
You know
exactly.
What I'm saying?
Those are your choices.
Yep, that's it. Oh, man. Well, so you're on the road right now. I'm going to let you go because I know you've been traveling, and you're on the road now with you're traveling with Blue Highway.
Right. Okay. Yeah, we're playing a few shows this weekend. But
okay.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you taking time for us.
Absolutely.
Your show.
Well, thanks, Tim. I appreciate it. And I know it's always an interesting discussion. I can count on you to fill in a lot of gaps in my knowledge. So I appreciate that. I appreciate it. Well, they're your songs that you ought to be able to. All right, Tim Stafford, man. Thanks a lot. Have a good road trip. We'll be looking for the new Blue Highway, I'm going to guess, in 19.
Yeah, it's going to be out this year. I'm not sure exactly when.
But. All right, then. Hey, listen, man, thanks a lot for being available and always being so helpful on Unreal Bluegrass, too.
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate it much.
I'll see you, man. Bye.